But you have to say, you have to shave it off. It's horrible. You have to shave it off. So relax. Give it a day. It's because we look younger, but it looks really strange. I tell you, it does. It's the 25th of February, and we've got a lot to do today. We've got a lot to do every day. Have you noticed how we say that every time? We always have a lot to do. We're going to continue with stocks. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yes, stocks are exciting. Dangerous, but exciting. And we're still down 3%. Even though the market's doing really well, we picked some. Well, look at DDD. You know, that's the kind of stock that can make you really happy or really, really sad. But all these others are really good stocks, folks. I wouldn't play with those over the long term. But in the short term, this is the one Marcos, because he knows I like this waste management. But I thought just a few months ago, this is getting too expensive. But it doesn't matter, we bought it. All right, anyone want to change anything? Want to sell something? Hang on. Hang on for the long term? All right. So let's now go back to our, go back to our presentation, because we were here. We were talking about stock quotes, and we're going to take a look at the assignment sheet. I gave you the assignment sheet, right?
Yeah.
And some of you might not have it. I have some extras here. And we're going to see how to do the first assignment, which is actually pretty straightforward. Once you start it, you go, oh, this isn't hard. It might be hard finding a couple things. I'll show you where to find those. But first, we need a good joke. Who's got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke? Let's hear it. Daniela had a good joke. Okay, let's hear it. No, you tell it. Your joke.
What is it called when you murder your friend?
Murder your friend.
Homicide.
Homicide. It's pretty bad, isn't it? But hey, you know, I got bad jokes too. So you got to bring good jokes. Michael, I'm sorry, I missed you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't miss anybody else. Anybody else name I didn't call? Okay, let's continue. All right, right now we're going to take a look at reading stock quotes. Different sources will contain some, all, or more of these statistics, but always remember that the quoted price that you see, either on the internet or maybe on the news or newspaper, is not the only price. There are dozens of prices available from many different dealers, many different market makers. The quoted prices are just the best prices available. Plus, you're usually seeing the current prices 15 to 20 minutes ago. And some of these things we're going to be looking up in our assignment. And so here, here is I don't know why they continue. Yeah. Some other professors say, well, you don't use the Wall Street Journal in your class. I said, no, I don't think it's that spectacular, any better than any other thing. But it's always got that prestige. And oh, my God, you mean you actually wait until the next day to find out how much your stock is worth? How 20th century. All the newspapers used to publish the daily ending prices of the stocks, and now none of them do, except for the last one, the Wall Street Journal. This is what you're going to do. You're going to use it online. And for years, my favorite website was Yahoo, but they just destroyed the thing, and they destroyed the homepage several months ago. And you can't help but hear what people complain about Yahoo, but what can I say? It's still the best one, I believe, for researching the data of individual stocks. But the homepage, it's as if it was redesigned by somebody who's psychotic or, you know, or who has ADHD, a really bad case of ADHD. We used to call it DUMB, you know, they call it ADHD. But it's really, really messy. There's Bloomberg. Anybody use Bloomberg? You like it? It's all right. MarketWatch, Morningstar, and if anybody else wants to take a look at some others, please do. But the one that you would think would be really good, Google's finance page, is actually pretty awful. And they said that 10 years ago. They would not have a very good finance page. I don't know why, because everything they do is usually pretty darn good. So what happened? If you want to go to the Yahoo, this is the Yahoo finance page. And this is, I don't know what they did. Who thought this was the smartest thing to do? But now the articles used to be in different locations, and you would look for this area, this area, this area. Now what they do, and this is the true of Yahoo the main page. Now they just start throwing articles randomly, haphazardly, and they don't stop. They just keep going as you go down. They never end. And in between are, I think the idea was they got to get revenue. So in between some of these are interspersed ads. So it makes it look like the advertisements are articles, and the articles are advertisements. Whereas I think they weren't making enough money the old way, where they would just have things in different places and the ads would be around them. I think that's the idea. I don't know. I'm not on the board of Yahoo. I wish them a lot of success. I'm not trying to say they should do badly, but it's, to me, this is ridiculous. This is a waste of my time, and I'm not interested. So I don't use this website. I don't use the homepage anymore. I do still watch these guys, the originals. These guys right here, and I'll show you some of them every once in a while. Breakout and the Daily Ticker, those are actually still pretty good. But what we're interested in doing is looking up stocks. Come on, let's go back to the main page. Here we go. And how do you do that? Right here, quote lookup. So if you look at the assignment sheet that I gave you on last Thursday, you'll see I'm asking you to look up stocks. All right? Did you get one? You didn't get one. Okay, here you go. And so how do you do this? Well, everyone is a little different, but they all work basically the same. You go here where it says quotes or search or whatever. Don't go in the search box. That's basically a Google search, a Yahoo search, an internet search. This one is a search just for a stock. So let's take a look at a stock like, I don't want to do one of the ones that are on here. So let's, Bitcoin is not a stock. Bitcoin's in trouble. I warn people, stay away from Bitcoin, and here we are. How about Kellogg's? You start typing in Kellogg's. Hello. It's supposed to. I think it has to do with this thing. It's still. Let's try it again. Let's try another one. It's been very slow on campus. Yeah. Okay. So let's try another one. Let's try Kell. There you go. You see what's happening? As you start typing in the name of the stock, it will think, okay, who are you looking for? Who are you interested in? So I keep typing Kellogg's, and there it is. Oh, you want the Kellogg Company, which, by the way, happens to be the symbol K, because they're a big company. They got the symbol K. Usually they're three characters, sometimes four, sometimes two. So Kellogg Company, and up comes a page that just concentrates on Kellogg's. They have not destroyed this yet. They probably will eventually. This is, I think, the best part of Yahoo right here. When you're looking at an individual company, on the left are just all kinds of places that you'll want to go eventually. Maybe not all of them, but we'll look at several of them. And then here is the current information. Now, what you'll find is this thing will start changing. It'll start flashing because the market is still open. What are some of the things we're interested in? First one, we want to know what exchange it's on. That's right here. Right there. What exchange? The NYSE, New York Stock Exchange. And we discussed the exchanges last week. You need to do some research, so do some study and make sure you know the major ones. And then what's the price? Everyone should say 6111. What's the price? But is it really 6111? There are dozens of prices going on at any one time. But a company like Kellogg's, the spread is going to be really, really small. And you see, the spread is a penny. There's some people who will buy it from you for 6110 and they'll sell it to you from 6111. So the spread is a penny. Now, there are some people probably selling it for 6114, 6108, buying it and selling it for a few other cents more. But in a stock like Kellogg's, because it's so widely traded, it's so big, the spread is going to be really, really small. What else are we interested in? Let's take a look at the, I want to do it in the order I put it down there. The data, well, the stock symbol, the data, that's what you put down there. Price per share. Look, EPS, earnings per share. EPS stands for earnings per share. That's $4.94. Dividend and yield. Dividend $1.84, yield 3.10. Is this pretty straightforward? Yeah, pretty straightforward. Market capitalization, that's right here. Market cap, we'll discuss that later on. Book value. Here's where it gets a little tricky. Do you see book value on the front page? No, you don't see book value. You have to, in Yahoo, you have to go to key statistics. So remember that one. That's the only one that's really tricky. Key statistics, and you'll see it down here under book value per share, and we'll discuss book value later on. One of the other things I ask you for is the sector of the economy, and that is under profile. So if you look at profile, you'll see the sector of the economy, what industry it's in, and you'll also see a little summary of the business and other information about this. And you might get a little peeked. You might say, oh, this is interesting. Let's take a look at some of the headlines. Let's take a look at some of the headlines for what's going on with Kellogg's. And now that I looked at Kellogg's, maybe I want to look at some of their competitors. Because when you research a company, you can't not look at their competitors. So you take a look at their competitors. And you go, oh, that's interesting. Who's one of the competitors for Kellogg's? General Mills. You look at General Mills, GIS. And then and Mondelez. Who the hell are they? Nestle, Unilever. And so what I like to do, and it's up to you. I mean, I hope you like this too. I hope you enjoy it. This is the best part of investing, I believe. I get lost. Get lost! I tell the online students, get lost! And they say, they're not. You have to be careful, you know, because you're not in, you don't have that face-to-face body language contact. But not in a nasty way. But just start clicking and looking here and looking there and go, that's interesting. Okay, let's take a look at, oh, look at what their competitors are doing. And so hopefully you will enjoy this. Because at its very basic level, it's actually just looking up stuff. That's all it really is. You're just looking up stuff and writing it down. And if you just do that and you don't enjoy it, well, then I apologize. The last one is a stock type. That is something you are going to decide after we discuss the stock types, which we do probably on Thursday. So questions, thoughts, ideas. You want to take a look at Bloomberg?
What was data?
That's just the date, or today's date. Just write down the today's date, what date it is. Anybody else want to take a look at any others? Bloomberg or MarketWatch? Want to take a look at Bloomberg? I'm not a big fan of, but people tell me they love Bloomberg. I don't think it's that easy to read. That's for me. I'm getting old, folks. So my eyes are not as good as they used to be. So here's Bloomberg, and it's just too much. There's too much. I mean, Yahoo's doing that, too. They used to be much more easy, and they got these 30% of traffic is caused by people looking for parking. Oh, that's interesting. Go away! This is what I don't like. Let me do my job. Okay, where is it? Where is it? It used to be search for news and quotes. They put it all in the same thing. Let's say Kellogg's. Ah, Kellogg's, U.S., United States. And it used to be U.S. And there is their page on Kellogg's. And see, I don't think it's as nice as Yahoo. Yahoo's got that whole set section on the left-hand side where you can look at all their stuff. And I don't think this is easy to read. Do you think that's easy to read? I don't think it's that easy to read. But hey, everybody, that's why there's coffee and chocolate, and some people like granola. So play with the one, MarketWatch, play with Morningstar, and see which one you like the best. Okay, now, since the beginning of the semester, I've been dancing around these indices, these market averages, and using them and not actually defining them. But here, finally, 5-6 weeks into the semester, we're ready to do so. How can we say that stocks have returned approximately 10%? It's actually a little bit more, but let's say that they've returned 10% over the last 70, 80 years. Well, the industry uses market averages and index and the indices, and the name we use is benchmark. And some of you have a real tough time with this name because it's kind of a strange name, and I ask you to look it up for the mutual fund that you looked at, right? Well, what is the benchmark? Well, it'll be in the annual report. It'll often be on the website, maybe not. But it is who we compare ourselves to. Another name for it is standard or measure. How do we measure how well we're doing vis-a-vis or in comparison to the market as a whole? So So there are two types. There's the average, and market indexes. And most people don't even know that there's a difference, and it's not important to you. But the Dow Jones Industrial Average versus the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. Don't worry about it. I will not ask you to be that precise. But the difference between an average and an index is that an average does not take into account how big the company is, whereas an index does. An index looks at the company and how big it is. The bigger the company, the more say it has, the more emphasis that company will have in the numbers. Whereas an average doesn't care about that. And so that's the big difference. But you can't hear every day. You can't help but every day hear about these. The Dow went up. The Nasdaq went up. Do you think people actually know what they are? No. Most people have no idea what they are. And here's a slide that talks about the difference. Share price calculation, that's a market average. Market weighted calculation is a market index. The larger the market share, the more influence the security, stock, bond, whatever, will have in the index. And market weighted calculations were generally regarded as a better measurement until the bubble of the late 1990s when things blew up. So here is the granddaddy of them all, and probably the worst thing out there, the worst one, is the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average. It was started in 1896 by Charles Dow, one of the guys who started Dow Jones, which is the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal. And it very rarely is called the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's mostly just called the Dow because now very few companies actually have anything to do with industrials. Dow Jones is the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal. And as I said, I don't know if I told you, in 2007 it was purchased by Rupert Murdoch. Did you hear that? Fox News. He paid, most people, it was a private company. It was owned by the Bancroft family, which are the descendants of Charles Dow. And it was mostly regarded as being worth about $3 billion. He offered them $5 billion. And many of the family said, I don't want to sell to this guy. This is the guy, News of the World. Did you hear about that in Star News, in the really bad New York Post, really bad muckrakers and yellow journalism, as it's called. And others in the family said, are you kidding? He's offered us $5 billion. So he got what he wanted. And now that he's got it, he hasn't seen it. Usually destroys things, but usually it seems to have been kept up the same journalistic integrity as before. And here they are, folks. Here are the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Most of these stocks you have heard of, yes? Are there any that you haven't heard of? And some of you have to sit on your hands and not scream out numbers, not scream out names, because you've already done this before, some of you. But the others don't know what I'm talking about. Don't peek, don't peek, don't peek. What companies haven't you heard of, huh? Pfizer. What does Pfizer make?
Drugs.
Viagra, Lipitor, yes. And Merck is one of their competitors. Merck. Who else? 3M, Minnesota Mining and Materials. What are they? Don't peek. Tape, Scotch tape, Post-it notes. They make, I think, last I heard, they made 100,000 different products. Most all of them are flat. They make things that get wrapped around buildings and the like, and reflective tape and the like. Who else? Goldman Sachs was just put in last November. Goldman Sachs is an investment bank. They are one of the people who brought you the fiscal crisis of 2008 and then profited handily from it. But they got hurt too, so don't be too nasty to them. Who else? United Technologies, that's one of the few remaining industrial companies. Otis Elevators, Pratt & Whitney Jet Engines. They're a conglomerate that make industrial products. I think they own, who else do they own? Well, Boeing is a little bit more concentrated. Boeing makes aeronautic products, aerospace, defense. They own a lot of they make a lot of defense products too. But they're well known for their 737, 787 jet airliners. They don't make the jet engines. That's GE and Pratt & Whitney. GE and Pratt & Whitney, and Rolls-Royce makes jet engines. I think they use Travelers Insurance Company used to be part of Citigroup. Who? Merck is a drug company with Pfizer. I mean, they're competitors. Anybody else? Caterpillar. Come on, you know Caterpillar is.
Earth moving equipment.
Right. United Healthcare is another insurance company. They were just put into the Dow just recently. Nike is now in the Dow. Nike. Figure that one out. Nike. McDonald's Industrial Company. Yeah, right. So anyway. Yeah, industrial. They make hamburgers. Okay. All right, so now I'm going to give you $10,000 80 years ago. And $10,000. I don't know why the industry uses $10,000. That's what they use. And I'm going to ask you to pick a stock. But you say, wait a minute, Walmart wasn't in the Dow 80 years ago because it didn't exist. Okay, so who was replaced by Walmart? Take a look next to Walmart. I'm sorry? When did Jordan, Michael Jordan? I assume that was many years ago. I assume it was many, many years ago. But who did you own before you owned Walmart? I mean, Walmart. I don't said it. Woolworth. Well, some of you don't even know exists. You don't even know what it is. But it was a retailer for many years, like a Walmart is now, but it was very different. Woolworth was where your father would go take you. There was a soda fountain, and they had goldfish and little turtles that you could buy and take them home and eat them for the kids. You could put them in their mouth. And then there was a tube tester where you tested the tubes for the television and the radio. This is a long time ago. Yeah, those tubes. And now Woolworth is gone in the United States. There's still a piece of it left. Anybody know what it is? What Woolworth was left of Woolworth? Foot Locker. Foot Locker used to be part of Woolworth. And if you go to Mexico, down Puerto Vallarta, Morelia, Guadalajara, you'll find Woolworth. It's still around. So, you understand what's going on? No, you don't understand what's going on. If you pick Walmart, before 1997, you owned Woolworth. Woolworth. It was another store. It was a different company. It's gone now. Pac Bell, you're right. Pac Bell is in there, but what is it now called? AT&T, because AT&T blew up in 1984. They broke it all apart, and there were the baby bells. There were nine of them, and one of the baby bells became Verizon, a Bell Atlantic, and it bought up its competitors. And the other baby bell, SBC Communications, bought up the other competitors, and eventually bought AT&T. They bought Pac Bell, they bought Bell South, and so think about that. So now that's the new AT&T. The old AT&T is gone. Anybody else? Any other questions? Okay, so now here, $10,000, 80 years ago. Now, if you know, don't yell it out, okay? Some of you did this last semester. Okay, so who do you want, Andrea? It's not real money, don't worry. Yes. Disney. She wants Disney. Okay, Disney. What do you want? ExxonMobil. Wait a minute. I need to erase this. ExxonMobil, says Valerie. How about it there, Roberto? Goldman Sachs. Now remember, who did they replace?
Bank of Armenia.
Goldman Sachs. And who did Bank of Armenia replace?
Philip Morris.
Yes, Daniel. Procter & Gamble, yes, Wilson.
Yeah, he took mine. So.
I told you guys to sit on your hands for a while. Yes, Miss Ingram, yes. Nike, who did they replace? Alcoa, Aluminum Corporation of America. They just replaced it a little while ago, by the way, in November. And who else? Yes. GE, we bring good things to life. Yes. Boeing. Make jet airplanes. Yes. You don't have to be right. Remember, it's not real money. Microsoft. Who did they replace? Union Carbide. You ever hear of them? You ever hear of Bhopal? Bhopal. Look it up. Yes. Over here in the cheap seats. What do you think? You pick Microsoft. You can pick another one. Cisco. Who did they replace? General Motors. How did that happen? They went into bankruptcy in 2008. And so Dal said, I guess we should get a kick them out. You know, they're in bankruptcy. AIG also. Chased. I'm chased. Come on, Daniel. You don't have to, it's not real money. No? 3M, Minnesota Mining and Material. Oh, it's come up here. Minnesota Mining and Material. Who else? American Excuse. Okay. You already picked one. Okay. Yes. Who do you want? Yeah. Mickey D. McDonald's. Warren Buffett owns McDonald's. Warren Buffett owns Coca-Cola. Warren Buffett owns Procter & Gamble. Over here. Come on, Russ. What do you think? Coca-Cola, fizzy sugar water with a brown crayon stuck in it. Okay. Who else? Who hasn't? Thelma, which one do you want? Sorry? You want sorry? Who's that? Just pick one. It's not real money. Don't worry about it. It'll go faster. We'll get out of here faster if you're done. Who? Just pick. Verizon. Who did they replace? AT&T.
Old AT&T.
How about it? Who? Yeah. Did you pick one yet? Yeah. Intel. Intelligence. Intel. Okay, everybody? Everybody get a chance? Daniela, did you pick one yet? And Daniel. And Leon, you guys haven't picked yet. Disney. 2 for Disney. Visa, squeeze you. Where should Visa go? Let's put Visa there. And Lino. Home Depot. Home Cheapo.
Home
All right. Hugo, what do you want? Pick a company. GE, 2 for GE. Everybody? Bernie, did I get you? Adam, I got you? All right. yes. Ms. Calzada, yes. GE, so 3 for GE. Okay, turn it over. Open it up, see how you did. Yeah, right, it's Christmas. Dun dun, dun dun dun. So, can stocks make us very rich?
Yeah.
Why are you at the bottom? Which one did you pick? Cisco. Is it Cisco's fault? No, what did Vanessa pick? She picked Cisco. Exactly. Now, do you understand that these things are very imperfect, and yet they are used over and over and over again? They'll say, the Dow is the same place it was 10 years ago. Well, no, it's not, because the companies that were in there are gone. And this is the problem with index investing. People are going to tell you that index investing is the way to go. But it's stupid. They wait until a company gets really, really worth a lot. Microsoft, Intel, in 1999, they took out Union Carbide, and who did Intel replace? Look who did Intel replace? Chevron, oil company. They waited until the height of the technology bubble. Took out two companies that are not going anywhere. Union Carbide makes chemicals, and Chevron is an oil company. And they put in Microsoft and Intel. Microsoft has never touched the stock price it had back in 1999. It's never gotten above its 1999 price. And then they wait until a company like GM goes into bankruptcy, AIG goes into bankruptcy, Kodak goes close to bankruptcy, and then they kick him out. So you see what's going on? Okay, Roberto, and then, yes, Roberto, and then Andrea.
Yeah, it's funny because Procter & Gamble is the highest one, and they don't have no...
They've been around forever, right, exactly. And GE is up there, McDonald's is up there, and this is the problem with indexes. Now, it's a much bigger problem with a index such as, well, this is average, but much bigger problem with something like the Dow Jones Industrial Average because there's only 30 stocks. The Standard & Poor's 500, which is the next one we'll take a look at, is the much broader index. There are many more companies. But it's the same thing happens. They wait until a company gets really hot, really expensive, like Farcebook or Titter, and then they put them in and wait till a company gets ready for the porcelain oasis to take them out. You want to buy a company before it explodes, right? And you want to sell the company before it becomes worthless. What? Well, that's another problem, isn't it? Yeah, they always use 10 grand, but not taking into effect not taking into account the effect of inflation. But I'll tell you, it wasn't worth what it was. You know, it wasn't worth $8 million. Okay, even then. Yeah. Yes. Look at Disney's competitors first. Not their competitors. Look at who they took out. They took out. I'm sorry. What was it? Disney bought Pixar, yes. And then they bought Star Wars, and then they bought ABC, Marvel Comics. They own ESPN. You know, Disney's a powerhouse. But who did they replace? Did they replace Bethlehem Steel? United States Steel, yeah. United States Steel, yeah. Steel companies, yeah, not doing so well. So, Amazon, will we ever see Amazon, Apple, Google into the Dow Jones? I doubt it. No, it's because it has to do with the way they calculate the shares. If they split the stock of Apple, Google, or Netflix, or some of those companies where the stock price is a lot less, maybe they'll make their way into the Dow. But my recommendation to you is you ignore the Dow. It is simply too few stocks. It's only 30 stocks. Let's continue now. I need to continue, and then we'll take a look at its main rival, the Standard & Poor's 500. But there are going to be times, dear students, when these indices, however imperfect they are, and the market as a whole, simply don't go up the way people are expecting them to go up because people concentrate on the capital gains. So look, between 1906 and 1924, the Dow started at 100, ended at 100. In the meantime, it went up and down and up and down. In 1924 to 1929, it jumped three times. And everybody said, is it too late to get in? And then it dropped 80%. Between 1929 and 1954, 25 years, it reached 300, fell down to, I think, 39 or something like that, and then took 25 years for it to get back. Between 54 and 66, it jumped three times, and then again, 16 years, hit the 1,000, down, back to 1,000, down, and not until 1982 did it break out. And then look what happened between 82 and 2000. Ouch. Wow, huh? And then between 2000 and 2011, 11,000 down to 7,000 or something like that, back up to 11, down, back up, and then in 2011 hit 11,000 again. And now seems to be above that. But we don't know. We don't know what's going to crash again. But how do you make money in stocks during times when the markets and capital gains are flat? Huh? Well, the answer depends upon whether you're an investor or whether you are a speculator, a trader. If you're a speculator or a trader, you will say, and you might believe that you can do it, buy low, sell high, buy low, sell high. Try to ride the waves. Right? And when it goes down, maybe short sell. Maybe try to make money as stocks are going down. That's very speculative, very dangerous. Whereas an investor will say, no, I am looking at good companies. Would you want to own Procter & Gamble? Yeah, you would. What do they make? Toothpaste, soap, toilet paper, shaving cream. Look at me, I need to shave. Yes. Crest. No, Colgate's their competitor. They own Crest, Head and Shoulders, Tide, Ivory Snow, Pantene. They own Pantene. They used to own Pringles. I don't know about you, but I think those things are ridiculous. I mean, the Pringles. Colgate's its own company. Colgate Palmolive, its own company. But Pringles, don't they look like they should be tennis balls? Doesn't look like you pop the kids. You pop your kids. And they're not potato chips. I don't know what the hell they are, but they're not potato chips. I'm sorry?
There's like a thing about it. It's either potato chips or potato chips.
What's in them?
Like a
tennis balls. It's probably chopped up tennis balls. That's what it is. Okay, anyway. So you understand? You buy a company, you take advantage of the dividends that it pays, and you hold on for the long term. And when the market's rising, you get excited, and it's very fun. And when the market's falling, you go, oh, well, you buy more shares. Yes? Well, yes and no. It depends on how you measure it. In this respect, we did not take into account dividends. We did not take into account dividends. However, if we did, Procter & Gamble would probably be worth $50 million. I don't know. I have to find out how to do that. But if you take into account dividends, remember, traditionally, dividends were half of your return, depending on what you invest in. If you invest in all high-flying companies with paying zero dividends, obviously they're none of your returns. But if you invest in high-quality companies that pay dividends over the long term, they're going to be a third to a half of your return, reinvested dividends. Excited? Okay, good. Let's continue. Questions, thoughts? Am I going too fast or too slow? Now, Dow Jones also has many other indices. The transportation average, which is just 20 railroad, freight companies, airline companies. Some people like, because they look at it as a precursor. Before the stuff can be sold, it's got to get to where it needs to go to be built, and then get to where it needs to go to be sold. So people sometimes look at that. Utilities, that's just utilities. And then you combine the industrial, which isn't really industrial, the transport, which is transport, and utilities, which are utilities, and you get the 65 stock composite average. You will not see this reported too often. Then these two, which weren't started by Dow Jones, but Dow Jones somehow made a deal with Wilshire and then kicked them to the side. Wilshire is a company based in L.A., Wilshire Boulevard, Wilshire area. They created an average called the Wilshire 5000, which was meant to show large companies, medium-sized companies, and small companies, sometimes called the total stock market index. Well, Dow Jones made a deal with them to call it the Dow Jones Wilshire 5000 Total Market Index. I liked Wilshire 5000. I thought that was easier. And then Wilshire got kicked to the side, and now it's called the Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index. You take the 5,000 in the Wilshire 5,000, which are actually like 6,000, they've added some, and then you take away the top 500 companies in terms of size, and you get the Dow Jones U.S. Completion Stock Market Total Stock Market Index. Now, who made up that name? I don't know. It used to be called the Wilshire 4,500. And this should look familiar, those of you who have done your Chapter 4 assignments. Does it look familiar? This is the S fund in Thrift Savings Plan. That's what the S fund invests in. Invests in the companies in the Wilshire 4500. You're doing your assignment because it's due on Thursday, right? Is it due on Thursday?
Yeah.
I didn't write that down. Your assignments for Chapter 4 are due on Thursday. You started already. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, he's working on it. Still got it right there. If you need an annual report, I have some extras in my office. Okay, so these two you're going to want to know, and we'll discuss those later on. Finally, where are we? 6 weeks into the semester, we're finally talking about the S&P 500. Standard & Poor's 500. Standard & Poor's is part of a company called McGraw-Hill. They're the people who wrote your textbook. And they have an index called the S&P 500. Remember Vanguard's index fund, the Index 500, and the Spartan Index, the Fidelity Spartan 500? This is traditionally a list of the 500 largest companies based in the United States. Very popular. Why? Because some people will call it a broadly based, you'll hear that term, broadly based index, whereas the Dow Jones is only 30 stocks. It now contains some foreign stocks. Why? Because some companies outside the United States bought fairly large companies inside the United States. You ever hear ARCO? AMPM? Who owns it? BP, British Petroleum. Remember when, some of you were children, but in 1997, Daimler-Benz, Mercedes-Benz, bought Chrysler. And they called it Daimler Chrysler. But how did they pronounce it in Germany? Anybody know? Daimler Chrysler? They pronounced it Daimler. The Chrysler was silent. It's a joke. And then 10 years later, they said, this is a horrible company. Sell it. They sold it off, and then it went through bankruptcy. So they got out just in time. But they had to pay $7 billion to actually sell it. Figured that one out. They bought it for $36 billion. They sold it for $8 billion, but they had to pay $7 billion to sell it.
Crazy.
I don't understand. They lost a lot of money, but they could have lost more if they wouldn't have sold it in 2007. They would have wound up losing more. So, yeah, because the Standard & Poor's 500 is market-weighted, it was affected by the tech bubble of the late 1990s in a bizarre manner. The market value of a small percentage of technology companies were inflated to outrageous extremes. And this was called the tech bubble of the late 1990s. This skewed the index even more toward those companies. And this is how index investing works. As a company's value goes up, it becomes worth more in the index. As its price goes up, it becomes worth more. And so the index funds have to buy more of the stock, which turns around and makes the stock worth more, which means they have to buy more. You see the problem? Years ago, a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham warned investors about any kind of programmatic, any kind of automatic way of investing. As prudent investors saw the prices of companies like Dell and Microsoft and Intel skyrocket, it's in their better interest to say, whoa, sit back and wait a minute. Is Microsoft really worth that much? And in 1998, 10% of the gain in the Standard & Poor's 500, a list of 500 stocks, was due to one company, Microsoft. So you see what's going on here? So when anybody tries to tell you that index investing is, you know, the surefire way to invest, I'm not trying to say it's not a good way. I'm trying to say it's not perfect, and there are times when indices get out of proportion. And we saw that graphic in Chapter 4. We're going to see it again later on. Make sense? But the Standard & Poor's 500 is, on balance, a much better indicator of what's going on with the large companies based in the United States than the Dow, even though the Dow is far more popular. People will always report the Dow in the media. They won't always report the S&P 500. This is the one to look at, not the Dow. Yes?
Has the Dow been around longer
than... Oh, yes. 1896, S&P, I think, 1920-something. By the way, it looks like Dow Jones is giving the Dow Jones averages and indices over to Standard & Poor's to manage. I haven't figured it out yet. If you go to their website, you'll Standard & Poor's website, they call them the S&P Standard & Poor's Dow Jones indicators. So I don't understand. I don't know the whole thing, and I can't get a definitive thing of what's going on. It's as if Dow Jones is not giving them up, but they're letting S&P run them. I don't know. So here are some others that the S&P has. The industrial 400, mid-cap 400, small cap. We'll discuss mid-cap, small cap. And then you put together the S&P 500, which is large companies, the mid-cap 400, the 600, small cap, and you get the 1500 index. And then Standard & Poor's has dozens and dozens of these indexes for global, international, sector indices. But the one that is the most important that you're going to hear the most about is the S&P 500. Now, New York Stock Exchange, Amex, NASDAQ have their own indices. The one that's important for you is the NASDAQ. And it's not as good an indicator as it used to be, but this is often called the tech index. But to now, some companies that are not really considered technology companies are big companies in the NASDAQ. Ever heard of Costco? Is that a tech company? Well, they certainly are important users of technology, but they're not a tech. Starbucks? They're not a tech company. But, I'm sorry?
They have Wi-Fi.
They have Wi-Fi, that's right, they have Wi-Fi. So The NASDAQ is mostly consists of high-tech companies. Apple, Microsoft, Intel. Oracle, by the way, which is a very big tech company that maybe you heard of, maybe you haven't, but you use them every day. Every time you swipe that Visa card, every time you go online and look at your bank statements online, behind everything is an Oracle database. Maybe an IBM, but probably an Oracle database. And they just left the NASDAQ a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, and moved to the New York Stock Exchange. So the NASDAQ is the tech index. So you'll hear the newspapers and the television, radio, internet, they'll say, the NASDAQ went really well today as tech companies enjoyed investors' attention. This is what happened in the late 90s. The NASDAQ was at 800 in 1995. By 2000, March of 2000, it hit 5,000. Everybody thought we're going to be rich. Rich. It then dropped 80% between March of 2000 to October 2003 and went down to 1,200. Where is it now? It's over 4,000. So people are making a big deal. The NASDAQ's moving its way back to 5,000. But wait a minute. Is it the same index? DrCoop.com? TheGlobe.com? eToys? Pets.com? Do you remember any of these companies? They're all gone. A couple of them are still around, Amazon, eBay. But all those internet companies are gone. And new companies like Facebook and Twitter have replaced them. Twitter is on the New York Stock Exchange. But so when you hear people say, the NASDAQ is finally getting back to where it was in 2000, they are absolutely wrong because it's not the same index. Most of the companies that made up the AOL, they're still around, believe it or not. AOL is still around, but when you were a little kid, AOL bought Time Warner. I mean, that's when I knew the end was near. And AOL is buying Time Warner. Wrong. There's something wrong with this picture. And sure enough, AOL went on to crash and burn. Time Warner extricated themselves and then turned around and sold AOL. Okay, now we are going to review the Dow Jones Total Stock Market Index and the extended, because I will call them the Wilshire 5000 and the Wilshire 4500. That's what I will call them, but nobody else will call them that, folks, because now they're called the Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index and the Dow Jones U.S. Completion Total Stock Market Index. Who makes up these names? People get paid a lot of money to make up these names, and obviously these people got paid too much money. But as we said, the 5,000 is meant to be the total market. The large companies, Dow Jones, Standard & Poor's, plus the mid-cap companies, plus the small-cap companies, and, of course, technologies involved there, too. And then the Wilshire 4500 is called the extended total stock market, or sometimes called the completion. It's the 5,000 largest companies minus the top 500. So tell me how well the mid-cap and the small-cap companies, the medium-sized and the small companies are doing. With me? Nod your head yes or go, no, Frank, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Plus, these two are also very popular with index funds. And as we said, you are now finally getting around to doing your Chapter 4 assignment, which is due on Thursday, and you'll see that this is the S fund. That's the S fund. And what's the C fund? In TSP? Why am I going wrong? How do you motivate students? Pay them? Drugs? Drugs? Yeah. Drugs probably work. Yeah, here. Here's some drugs. Okay. This is the C fund, and this is the S fund right here. Okay. Now, three other funds that you need to remember. There's only a total of seven or eight funds that you have to remember. Indices. There are dozens and dozens and dozens. The Russell 2000. Frank Russell Associates is another company that does this kind of work. And what did they do? They took the top 3,000 companies and called them the Russell 3,000. And then they took the top 1,000 companies, 1,000 companies, and called them the Russell 1000, and then they kicked out the 1000 out of the top 3000 and are left with the Russell 2000. And this is the one that is used when we want to see how mid-cap and small-cap are doing. When the media wants to focus on the medium-sized and small companies, they'll say, yeah, I know the NASDAQ is not doing well, the S&P is not doing well, but sure enough, the Russell's doing great. So the small companies are doing well, the mid-sized companies are doing well. That's usually a good sign for the economy, but not necessarily. And then MSCI, you don't have to remember what MSCI stands for. It stands for, believe it or not, Morgan Stanley Capital International. And there's a little bit of history behind that, but not important. The World Index and the EFA. And that's how it's pronounced, EFA. The World Index was meant to be a measure of the global stock market. And the EFA was meant to be a measure of the international. And we all remember the difference between global and international, right? Global means todo el mundo. International means everybody outside the United States. And these, for decades, were the two de facto. But the problem with these is that they only were concentrating on the developed world. In fact, EFA stands for Europe, Australia, and the Far East. And that's where the big markets were. Canada, too, was in the EFA. Hong Kong, Singapore, Western Europe, Australia, Japan, that was the EFA, and it still is. So they did not include the developing world. So Mexico and Brazil and South Africa and Turkey and China and Russia and India were not included in these indices. So now they've created two new indices, the All-Country World Index and the All-Country World Ex-USA Index. I don't make it up. Why didn't they just come up with this world, global, and international? I don't know what they call it, All-Country World Index. So these are important. Why? Because when you have a global growth and income fund, are they going to compare it to the Standard & Poor's 500? No, it's not a good comparison. Standard & Poor's 500 is mostly United States-based. If you have a domestic growth and income stock mutual fund, yeah, compare it to the S&P 500. But if you have a global, you should compare it to the world index, which is now being replaced by the all-country world index. And if you have an international fund, does it make sense to compare it to the Standard & Poor's 500? No, it makes sense to compare it to the EFA, which is now being replaced by All Country World XUSA. And some of you, I can tell, are really excited about this. You're not, you don't really care. You don't care? No. You care? Makes sense. Okay. So now let's do stock worksheet number one. So let's do stock worksheet number one. The one I just gave out. Stock worksheet number one. Did I just pass it out? Yeah, it says stock worksheet. It should say stock worksheet number one. On the back is stock worksheet number two. Okay. I missed the one? Well, it's number one. It's the first one. Okay. Okay, it's not that hard. You can handle it. You can handle it. Okay. All right, so for the following stocks, name the market you believe the stock could be expected to be found on. Where would you find Mickey D?
Dow Jones.
It's in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Remember, that's just a list, which I'm talking about New York Stock Exchange, Amex, NASDAQ, OTC, Bulletin Board, Pink Sheets. Where would we find McDonald's? Look it up on Yahoo. Right, okay, look it up on Yahoo. No, come on, think about it. You're right. To be precise, we should look it up on Yahoo. But where would you find a company been around for decades?
New York
Stock Exchange. But let's just make sure, because you're absolutely right, we should check. So let's go back to Yahoo and type in McDonald's. Look, it's still trying to get rid of you. Okay, go back.
2.5 hours left.
2.5 hours left. Yeah, something is not right. So let's go to, let's do, no, I don't want to do Yahoo. All right, so let's take a look at McDonald's. McDonald's. Oh, Mickey D. Yeah, that's who you want. And what does it say right here? New York Stock Exchange. Excellent. Okay. Now, what about number two? What's the next second one? Qualcomm. Where would you find it? Supposedly Qualcomm's all, supposed to be all uppercase. Exactly. NASDAQ. High-tech company. Been around since the 80s. Yeah. How about Spider ETF? What the hell is that? Spider is another word for the S&P 500. So that's the cool thing about ETF. They have these great names. Cubes and spiders and diamonds. And so when you buy the ETF for that follows the Standard & Poor's 500, you're buying the spider. Now, where is it sold? Well, actually, you could put any of them. Any of them, because the ETFs are now sold on any of the major markets. But what we do in this class is we put down Amex, which is now called the NYSE MICET, because originally that's where the ETFs were sold. The Amex, over 20 years ago, saw the handwriting on the wall. They saw that they were never going to get any bigger than they were, and the NASDAQ was exploding, and meanwhile the New York Stock Exchange was always. And so they started to concentrate on other securities, and they started selling the ETFs. But now they are sold on any. So you could put down Amex, you could put down any, you could put down New York Stock Exchange, it would all be right. Where's Coca-Cola? New York Stock Exchange, exactly. How about Butterfly.com? You've heard of them, haven't you? You ever heard of Butterfly.com? I think this year they're coming out with a left-handed smoke shifter. It's supposed to do a lot better than the right-handed smoke shifter, which didn't do very well. And the bacon structure, which was a disaster. And they make Blue Steam. Have you heard of Blue Steam? Blue Steam, it's really, really cool. Everybody's going to want to have it, so buy it. Buy the company. Where is Butterfly.com and Flim Flam Incorporated and Fly By Night? OTC, bulletin boards, OTC, Pink Sheets, which are now called the OTC Markets Groups. I don't think they like that name, Pink Sheets. And what about Nokia? Nokia? You think NASDAQ, right? And yet, you'd be wrong. That's why it's important, as Wilson pointed out, that we check. Because Nokia is actually, Nokia is on the New York Stock Exchange. I'm sorry? You know, I'm not really too sure. Where is Nokia based, by the way? Korea. Japan, Finland, Finland, the world still. I think they're still the world. No, wait, I think Samsung overtook them. But for many decades, they were the world, well, not many decades, but for many years, they were the world's largest cell phone producer. And then I think Samsung overtook them.
They're the only phone that works on a ship.
They're the only phone that works on a ship?
Yeah, if you go like 4 decks below.
Where are the cell phone towers on a ship? They're on the ship, obviously.
No.
No?
No.
How do you... Cell phones don't go more than a couple miles. If you're
in Singapore.
Oh, you're in port.
Yeah, in port.
Oh, okay. Can't think. Cell phones, you know, people think, I don't have to worry. I've got my cell phone. I'll go marching up into that mountain somewhere, and if I get in trouble, I'll just call my cell phone. If it was a satellite phone, that's a very different technology. A satellite phone, but a cell phone. How far did it go?
Well, I read that.
For an hour or two. Oh boy, it's coming up. Quick, do my email. It's an hour. That makes sense. It makes sense, obviously. But people think cell phones are like, they only go a couple miles. Okay, so Nokia is a New York Stock Exchange. So that's why, as Wilson pointed out, we should make sure. Now, match. Okay, take about 37 seconds and match the following market averages and indexes with their description. Where do you, what is the S&P 500? What is the World Index? What is the Dow Jones Industrial Average? So take about 2 or 3 minutes to do this. Not even. Come on, do it. Oh, you're already done. All right, Mr. Daniel. Daniel, right? All right, I've got to remember your name. I remember your name. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Did you already get it? You already did it. Okay, some of you are good. Some of you are good. Match the index with its description. Because these are the ones I want you to know. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of others, but these are the ones you need to know as a student of Introduction to Investments. Good. Okay, good. We did good. We've done good. Okay, anybody not finished? Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Okay, on the screen. Got a bad thing to do. Hello, hello. That's actually number one. Oh, jeez. Oh, man, this is not good. Okay, so, which way should we go? Should we go from A, on? Should we go here or start here? Which way? Start on the left, on the right. Okay, so what's the market index designed to gauge the total United States stock market? Total market index. United States total stock market index. Yes, the Dow Jones U.S. total stock market index, but I will call it the Wilshire 5000. And that's sometimes called the total market index. Dow Jones Wilshire 5000. Now it's called Dow Jones U.S. total stock market index. Stock market average made up of 30 high-quality stocks selected for total market value and broad public ownership and believed to reflect overall United States market activity, none of which is true. Dow Jones Industrial Average. 30 stocks, Dow. Yeah, it's the most popular, but it's not a very good index. The market, and it's actually an average, it's not an index, but who cares? Market index designed to measure the stock markets of the world, excluding the United States. Traditionally, that was the IFA, but it's now being replaced by the MSCI All Country World X Index XUSA. And then the market index, most often as a measurement of the strength or weakness of medium-sized and small-sized companies based in the United States. That's the Russell 2000. You'll hear people say, hey, but the Russell's doing really well. Small company, medium-sized companies are doing great. And then traditionally, the 500 largest stocks based in the United States, although now some may be foreign, most are based in the United States and are chosen for their market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. That's the S&P 500, which, you know, it's very, very popular. Sometimes it's called the S&P. Market index mostly comprised of high-tech companies. NASDAQ, right. And it's all uppercase, although I can't stand writing it that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. Market index designed to measure the global stock market, including the United States? World. MSCI World. You don't have to remember what MSCI stands for just to be able to recognize it. The World Index, which is being replaced by Morgan Stanley Capital International All-Country World Index. And then the market index designed to measure the total United States stock market, excluding the largest 500 companies. The completion, sometimes called, very popular with many index funds. The Wilshire 4500 is what it used to be called. It's now called the Dow Jones U.S. Completions Total Stock Market Index, sometimes called the Extended Market. So, you got that?
Yes.
All right. Now, the last part. You are driving home or taking the bus home or riding your bike home, and you hear on the radio the news, the Dow and the S&P 500 each lost 2%. But the NASDAQ gained 1% and the Russell 2000 was flat. What can you deduce from this report? Stocks were mostly unchanged? 2%? No, that's not true. Large company stock prices gained, high tech prices declined, and small companies were mostly unchanged? No, it's the other way around. Large company stock prices, as measured by the Dow and the S&P 500, fell. High tech companies rose, the NASDAQ gained 1%, and the Russell was flat, so that mid-sized small companies were mostly unchanged. And the last one, domestic stock prices gained and growth part of no description of foreign prices in those indices. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. A little low today, a little low on the logy side. All right, what you're going to see, dear students, every day on the news or on the infernal net, you're going to say, oh, the market today was so volatile, it started and then skyrocketed, but by noon, it's 12 p.m., the market crashed until it finally came back and ended pretty much where it started. We call this stock market index mania, today's unstable stock market. Now, what's the problem here? Do you know how to lie with statistics? One of the easiest ways to lie with statistics is just show a little bitty piece of the part of what you're measuring. If you had shown the whole thing, this is what it would look like. Do you think that's going to sell internet advertising, television advertising, radio? No, but that's what happens if you'd shown the whole, with the zero, you know, shown the whole amount. And so we call this stock market index ennui. You know what ennui means? It means beyond boredom. When you're racked by ennui, you're so bored that you're bored of your boredom. It's a French word. So now, if you remember last week, we took a look at the 2013 volatility. But what we did is we started at 10,000 and went up to 13,000. So we cut off between 0 and 10,000. Or 10,000. Now, if you add that in, is the volatility as scary? I hope you'll say no. Is the volatility as scary as by looking at day to day? No. If we take a long-term perspective, no. It's actually something that we can deal with if we think about the entire amount. But if we do what they do on the news, oh yeah, oh, look at it go up and down. Are you going to see this graph on the news? No, you're not going to see that graph on the news. Why? Because it doesn't scare you. It doesn't sell advertising. It doesn't get people excited about selling their stocks and buying more stocks and getting involved in buying and selling and buying and selling because it could go down, it could go up. I love the news. Could the market go up? Yeah, it could go up. Could the market go down?
Yeah, it could go down.
Could it stay the same? Yeah, it could stay the same. Will Apple go up? Probably. It'll also go down. You know, it goes up and down. And this is nothing new, folks. You ever heard of J.P. Morgan Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, J.P. Morgan was a guy, John Pierpont Morgan. And he was one of the, you know, industrialists of the late 1800s, into the 1900s. And somebody, you know, they thought he knew it was going to go happen. He said, Mr. Morgan, what's the market going to do? And he said, the market will fluctuate. So that's what I do when people say, what do you think the market's going to do? I think it'll probably go up and down. Then it'll go down and up again. And they say, well, I knew that. What do you ask me for? You think I know? I don't know what's going to happen in the short term. I do know in the long term, if the world doesn't end, which is always a distinct possibility, especially when you have people who believe that the world really is only 6,000 years old, and they're in the Senate, and one was in the White House, then the world could end very easily, because if you believe that the end times are upon us and the Armageddon isn't soon, then you can help it happen, right? Okay. So if the world doesn't end, we should do well over the next 30 years. No guarantees, okay? Come back in 30 years, I'll probably be dead or pretty darn close, and then we'll see. You'll come? You'll come and say nice things at my funeral? Okay. All right, stocks. All right, we only have a few minutes left. So let's not get started, but let's at least do one. And so you can ask questions on this one. And some of you already made this question. What happens when a company is spun off? Because this is what happened to AT&T back in 1984. You take part of that company and kiss it and send it on its way, and often that company, the original company, keeps a lot of the stock. Sometimes the new company, as we said, is still majority owned by the company that spun it off. A few years ago, Altria, the company that brings you Marlboro cigarettes, spun off Kraft. Then they got rid of their international tobacco business, which is called Philip Morris International. Now, why did they get rid of Kraft? There are some people who will not invest in cigarette companies, but they would have liked to invest in Kraft. Kraft, by the way, then split itself apart into two. Kraft is now two different companies. One's called Kraft. That's the one that makes the cheese, Velveeta, which they say is cheese, but I don't believe it. And then the Oscar Mayer. And the other company is called Mondelez. But nobody knows that. What company, what do they make? Anybody know? Oreos! And Nabisco stuff, that's called Mondelez now. What a great name. So the history of spinoffs has been checkered. Sometimes the spinoffs have done better than the companies that spun them off. For example, the Baby Bells, which we talked about. The Baby Bells were broken. AT&T, the phone company used to be one company. That was it. And the government said, you know, this isn't that smart. So in 1984, they split it up. AT&T got to keep Western Electric, which is the company that made the equipment. They got to keep Bell Labs, and they got to keep their long distance. The Baby Bells were the local monopolies, like Pac Bell, like SBC Communications, Bell Atlantic, which became Verizon, SBC, which became the new AT&T. Some have not fared so well. Coca-Cola Enterprises, you ever hear of them? That's the company that bottled the syrup. They're not the company that makes the syrup, that's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola Enterprises, not so well. In fact, there was talk a few months ago of Coca-Cola buying it back. And then Lucent Technologies, a company that should have done really well but made some stupid mistakes, we'll talk about later on. They were spun off from AT&T. They've been examples of disappointments. So we'll start here. Real quick, though, I want you to keep studying Chapter 5 because this is a lot of material, right? Yeah. Some of you are kind of giving me that look like, this is boring. I apologize. This is important. But we're going to finish up on Thursday and then finish Chapter 5 on Tuesday, and then we get started on Chapter 6, and that's where the calculations get serious. That's where we get serious. Don't miss any classes from now on. Every night, study, because in most instances, the number two exam is the best exam. The number one exam, students are a little frightened, a little nervous, and then the number two exam, they usually do really well. This one, no, because this is the meat. This is the heart of the course. So you've got to study every single night. I'm just warning you right from the start, okay? I want you to do well. I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm not doing this to trip you up. So those of you who came in late, come on over here, tell me, and I'll see you on Thursday.